Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into basically a run-through of some of the contract situations around the NFL for the wide receiver position. A bunch of them here. So I'll just kind of run down. I'm working on some stuff for football guys, and this is a lot of the prep for it. It's looking at some of this stuff. So 2022, Cole Beasley could save $6.1 million in cap savings by cutting him. Emmanuel Sanders, a free agent. I think Gabriel Davis could be a watch, but I don't think it's all that likely that he sort of gets through without additional competition. You know, whether that's Emmanuel Sanders on an extension or Cole Beasley on a restructure, or you know, the next wide receiver. You know, one of these guys we're mentioning in here, if it's Fuller or someone like that. It's just they've dedicated to consistently adding at the receiver position. That is something that we've seen under this administration. It was Beasley, it was Brown, it was Diggs. It's you know, now it's Emmanuel Sanders. To think that they're just going to sit pat here, this is a position that they're throwing assets at. So I just be careful about that. Jameson Crowder took a pay cut to stay with the Jets, so that'll be a watch. Early reports out that that Elijah Moore, Jameson Crowder, and Corey Davis are going to be like the top three guys. Denzel Mims is a really important watch because Crowder's going to be gone. So is Keelan Cole, who's seen some buzz. He's a free agent after this year. You know, is there room for Denzel Mims behind Elijah Moore in the pecking order? I think that's a notable concern. I will say, when you sort of look at these, at the what the Jets are doing, some really good metric profiles. So Davis, obviously a pretty good metric profile, very good metric profile. Elijah Moore, a good metric profile as well. Denzel Mims had a pretty good metric profile coming out of college. So did Keelan Cole, if memory serves, too. So I would just note that that is something that we've seen with them. One other thing to note, that Denzel Mims is now, that's the prior, right? That's the prior scholarship, right? He's on the scholarship of the old staff there. So just be careful on that, putting a ton of stock in him. Those things can change really quickly. So I, situation, such a bad thing to evaluate. No guaranteed money for Devontae Parker in 2022. They could save $3.5 million in cap space by cutting him. Likewise, Will Fuller is a free agent after signing a one-year prove-it deal. I think there's potential. We'll have to watch for what Jalen Waddle does in terms of how they address this position. You know, if it's a situation where he disappoints, you could see one or both of Parker, Fuller back. If Waddle's good, like, he can make him expendable. So I think that'll be an interesting thing there. I think a lot of that will hinge on how Waddle progresses. Cleveland could save $15 million against the cap by cutting either of Odell Beckham Jr. or Jarvis Landry. I expect both to be back. I expect both of them could be back. They're probably on restructures to do that. Sort of be the, you know, it's pay cuts, it's restructuring the cap stuff. There's no obvious heir apparent on their team, so I think that's another thing with a young quarterback. Depending on how you sort of extend Mayfield, I don't think you necessarily want to just sap him of his of two of his weapons right off the jump without a real good answer in the near term. Juju Smith-Schuster will be a free agent in 2022. He'll be entering age 26 season while doing so. Also being a free agent there will be James Washington. So we'll see if maybe he can do a developmental type, you know, situational role in a new offense. So, yeah, so that will be, you know, that'll be something to watch for there. How the development of Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson goes is going to be a really big determining factor in the post Roethlisberger era. I'll say with all of this, like, this could change very quickly in terms of Roethlisberger could be out, it could be Claypool, it could be Deontay Johnson. If those guys disappoint and Juju walks, all of a sudden you're like, huh. So I don't necessarily think, and, you know, Ebron will probably be gone at that point too. All of a sudden, you could be looking at a team that doesn't have a really good set of weapons. You know, I have concerns about Deontay Johnson. I have concerns about Chase Claypool. You know, and if Juju's going to walk, you got a quarterback coming in with a disappointing offensive line, and weapons that are like, huh. And then you got Freiermuth at tight end, and all of a sudden you could be kind of squinting at that and what happened in the past, you know, 36 months, because it went kind of quickly. I don't think that's necessarily the most likely outcome, but I would say that's a concerning tail risk. Denver, Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick are both free agents. I could actually see some of the Cortland Sutton, Kenny Galladay type track, if that's a tag maybe, or you know, there. One thing that always concerns me is you see guys get injured, they play out their deal, and then they walk. That's a concerning thing to me, because teams really have that information. They sort of know, you know, is it a degenerative knee condition? Is it, you know, is this something that's going to sap him of longevity of his career? Is this going to be something he's going to have to consistently, you know, he plays and then he sits out Wednesday, and you know, he DMPs Wednesday, questionable Thursday, you know, questionable Friday, or limited practice Thursday, you know, full practice Friday. Is that an everyday week thing? Is that an every week thing? Is that something you're going to constantly be dealing with, right? Teams have that knowledge, at least a better knowledge than whoever the team is that's signing them. So I would just sort of note that with Sutton, that's definitely a concern. You know, Tim Patrick, a free agent as well. KJ Hamler is a guy that could potentially be a beneficiary. So if you're doing a deep stash, I think Hamler's one. I don't do a ton of that stash, but I like the profile enough. I think it could be an interesting stash. Cornell Powell could similarly be a stash. I like him less than Hamler, but Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson, both free agents. The situation could break right. Not a ton there in front of Powell. Could break right for him. John Brown's a 2022 free agent as well. He's there on a one-year deal. You know, we'll see how Brian Edwards and Henry Ruggs develop here over the next, 12 months, and what John Brown can do. I think John Brown, 120 targets, wide receiver one on their team, well within the range of outcomes. So that's as a bridge guy for a real, real cheap price. I think that's a potential avenue to sort of address the position. Mike Williams, a 2022 free agent, no real major beneficiary apparent on the roster, so we'll sort of see what the market is for him. Bigger body with a downfield threat. Not a huge target, or maybe a chain-moving type guy, but can get it in chunks. We'll see if that's like a wide receiver 2-3 role, maybe in a future stop. I think that's more interesting probably from an NFL perspective in terms of boosting offensive efficiency than it necessarily will be, top 15 fantasy upside, for example. Brandon Cooks is under contract in 2022, but with a $15.5 million cap hit, the team could save nearly $9 million in cap space by cutting him. If they're going to get rid of Watson, they're going to take in just absolutely outrageous dead cap hit, so just be careful with that in terms of what you project. There's a lot of flexibility on that roster, I would note right now, and I think some of that probably has to do with the fact that like they could be going through some major changes. They might need to take some medicine here going forward. If they were to trade Deshaun Watson, it's going to be just an outrageous amount of dead cap space. Brandon Cooks could be one that could potentially fall for that. Randall Cobb, under contract in 2022, but with no guaranteed money, $8.25 million cap hit or cap savings by cutting him. Absolutely going to happen. So if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't happen earlier. Nico Collins, a guy that could potentially be a beneficiary. So again, not doing a ton of that type of investment, but I just think it's a name to file back. If it's a situation where he kind of is off the radar early in the season, maybe he can end up on waiver wires or in bye weeks, that sort of thing. Just a potential monitor. You know, just so you could do worse. T.Y. Hilton, free agent in 2022. Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, both have opportunities to step up. And, you know, we'll see how that offense looks. I think it'll be definitely one of the situations I'm watching for. Jacksonville Jaguars, $3 million. They could save cutting Marvin Jones in 2022, who's got no guaranteed money. DJ Chark, a free agent. I think he could be potentially on an extension watch. I also think, you know, with some of the injuries and stuff that he's had as well, he could potentially be on that Galladay Sutton, you know, wait and see type of scenario. I don't think, it's tough to say. I'd be really curious to sort of know this, and if teams have, if teams have done this sort of analysis, but and if the sample size is even predictive. But I'd just be curious to know, what is the extension at this point? Right? What's that conversation like about the money, the finances, versus what it would be like if you play it out, and sort of how much that shifts, you know, what the percentages that basically the player earns money essentially from playing on his deal and not signing the extension versus, you know, when it's team friendly, like when that additional year of knowledge is helpful. I gotta imagine I'd be one of the guys on the pretty conservative extension track. It's just not, that would probably be something I'd be holding on to and really being careful and prudent about extending guys with questions and saying, listen, you know, we'll pay you, but we need to see it again. I think there's probably some locker room stuff in there that could happen. But I think it's an interesting thing. And listen, Green Bay takes a lot of flack. I actually think a lot of what they do makes sense. So that would probably be how I'd do my management if I were them. Not a ton of guaranteed money out in the future and lots of flexibility. Laviska Shenault could be an uptick, potential valuation guy. I did see some note today that they want him to play more of the traditional wide receiver role instead of that H-back type ETN role that apparently they're going to play ETN in. So that's notable, I think, playing on the outside. It's something probably more than we've necessarily seen or expected from Shenault to this point in his college career and NFL career. Tennessee could save $9.5 million in cap space in 2022 if they cut Julio Jones. So we'll see if there's an extension there. I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen. It's probably an extension or something to sort of smooth out that number a bit. I think this experiment's probably going to work, but they do have an out if it doesn't, and it's not that costly. Like I that's pretty good business in terms of the deal that they made for him. And listen, if he falls apart, you know, if it's one of those things where Atlanta sort of moved on from him, and you have to wonder what they know that Tennessee doesn't know. So it's a caveat emptor, buyer beware type situation. Mari Cooper has $22 million cap hits in 2022, 2023, and 2024, with $16 million in savings, $18 million in savings, and $20 million in savings if he gets cut in any of those years. He's entering his 27-year-old season, and presumably would see a pretty healthy market. So I'm not super concerned about him necessarily long-term. Michael Gallup's a free agent in 2022. It could benefit CeeDee Lamb's workload and his potential volume opportunity. I will say I've seen a curious, I'll just sometimes look and peruse for arguments that are anti-mine or sort of on the other side of something that I necessarily would think on an issue. And so if that's you know, player specific or maybe strategic, I'm constantly looking for those arguments. One of the arguments for CeeDee Lamb was, hey, listen, like he's very versatile, you know, he could play inside, outside, like, but the reason that Gallup played so much is, yeah, he just played outside and basically took up the two wide receiver snap role or snap share, you know, that's basically where he operated. And but that seems to conflict with the idea that CeeDee Lamb's very versatile. So I would just be careful on that. And, you know, I don't think that they had this grand illusion to bring in CeeDee Lamb and make a focal point out of him. He basically just fell in the draft to them. So they took the best player available, which is really nice, but in good process. But just be careful on, you know, hey, they have these grand plan for him. Like, just because they didn't in 2022 or in 2020. So we'll see what they do in 2021, 2022. Sterling Shepard's a cut candidate with the Giants. They're able to save $6.5 million in cap space. Much will depend on the 2021 development of Kadarius Toney. I think that'll be an interesting watch there with Toney. And I could see myself being above maybe what I would expect with my metric or sort of analytics lens on. I could potentially be a little bit higher on him than necessarily you would expect based on just his numbers on the sheet of paper, positional convert, all that stuff. Like, I think you can, I don't like to make a ton of exceptions, but you know, maybe you take the base rate and you move it up just a little bit. Sterling Shepard, yep, mentioned him. Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, both free agents in 2022. Darnell Mooney will be the big popular sleeper breakout guy. He's already doing it. Just be careful on that. I mean, it's kind of got like the Preston Williams feel to it a little bit. Those low pedigree guys, like, that stuff can move away from you really quickly. And if, especially if they sort of can tighten up their cap a bit, you know, if they're playing with a rookie deal, for example, with Fields, and they're in a post Nick Foles, post Andy Dalton phase, like, they can probably save them like $20 million just right there. And, you know, if Allen Robinson walks, Anthony Miller walks, like, there's another, like, that's $40 million in cap space almost. And Darnell Mooney's not going to be the wide receiver one. So just careful on that. Tyrell Williams, Breshad Perriman, Geronimo Allison, all free agents for Detroit. Interesting opportunities for both Amon-Ra St. Brown and Quentin Cephas. So again, low probability bets given their pedigree, but I think notable in terms of, again, I think Quentin Cephas, if you're making this big argument for Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think Quentin Cephas is a guy that maybe you should consider. Similarly, I mean, we've seen him play a little bit. It was pretty good in you know, in the limited sample that he had in 2020 there with the Lions. So we sort of know. I think that's interesting. And, you know, we'll watch and see what that passing game looks like. But Quentin Cephas is a guy. I think Quintez Cephas, I should say, is a guy that I'm interested in monitoring as training camp gets underway. No guaranteed money for Adam Thielen. They could save $5.8 million cutting him in 2022. I'll say with him, right, it's very touchdown dependent last year, and that was in 2020. Very, very touchdown dependent. So just be careful there from a fantasy perspective, thinking about him as a, you know, as a bridge type guy. I was sort of on that angle. Hey, look. And then I sort of delved a little bit further, and I'm like, I don't like it quite as much. And I think there's less insulation there with him than a guy similarly priced at like Tyler Lockett. Robbie Anderson's due for an extension, so he should get paid. He was really good last year. He's been really good. I mean, it's just he's been basically, yeah. I mean, it worked out. And the Jets, he sort of lands here, makes some money. He's going to get paid again. This thing's really breaking well for him, low pedigree. And some troubles at the beginning of his career, but going to end up making himself a pretty healthy paycheck, I think, career earnings-wise. Well, I would be on the watch for a potential extension. Just note, too, that that he is his college coach was is their head coach now. So they sort of had that connection there. Matt Rhule coached Robbie Anderson at Temple. Chris Godwin's a 2022 free agent. He's planning out on a franchise tag. Again, this is like that Galladay example, that Sutton example, the Shark example. I'm a proponent of like making procrastination type decisions. Like, I want all the information that I can possibly get, and that's not a knock on players. Like, I'd love to have him long term. Like, if he's healthy, like all the information, like, yeah, it'd be great. But you do have questions, and we'll sort of see. Like, I think that makes so much sense. And I think, you know, Tampa smart franchises are doing smart things. So I think Tampa playing it well here with Chris Godwin, playing him out on the franchise tag. And then we'll see. You know, maybe it's an in season. I'm not sure if they can necessarily in season extend him cap wise or how that would all. They're basically, you know, kind of crammed everything they've got into the cap in terms of all the tricks and everything. I'm not sure if there's money there for him for an extension. Christian Kirk, AJ Green, both free agents. Talk about guys being on different paths in their career. Kirk obviously kind of underwhelmed here to start his career. AJ Green underwhelmed basically to end it. So we'll sort of see what that situation looks like. Yeah, they've got Rondale Moore. Andy Isabella is another guy that's there. So they've got some guys, some bodies there to fill it in. And, you know, they keep kind of doing the same thing, right? Like, hey, take day two guys and just kind of keep taking them. It's basically, they're almost Pittsburgh West at this point, which is pretty interesting. You know, basically how Pittsburgh, and I wrote about this, how Pittsburgh basically went, you know, essentially like almost a decade with just taking a day two wide receiver and typically a round two wide receiver for much of it. So even if Kirk leaves, Green leaves, I wouldn't expect them to rest on their laurels. I would expect them to continue to add to the position. It's like an approach we've seen other teams take, just constantly keep adding at the, it's almost, you know, and similar to the way that Buffalo has done it, right? It's where they're bringing in you know, retread guys, essentially seeing what they can get. You know, and it's been relatively successful with Brown and Beasley, and we'll see here with Sanders, and obviously with the addition of Stephon Diggs, right? It's kind of taking cast offs from other team and seeing what they can get, and it's been relatively successful. So it's an interesting approach from Arizona. I like when you throw a lot of assets at the receiver position, just in different and varied ways too. They obviously have Hopkins. They've sort of continued to. It almost looks like Buffalo with Hopkins being the Diggs, and now AJ Green being the Emmanuel Sanders, and they just sort of keep throwing assets at it. I'd expect them to continue to do so. All right, lastly here, the Rams is the other big one to note. Robert Woods' contract fully guarantees in March of 2022. He's due $10 million in salary with a $15.7 million cap hit, $3.6 million in cap savings if they cut him. So, listen, this is a team that has been willing and okay to take a huge dead cap number. We saw that with Gurley, and we've seen that with like Leonard Floyd had something similar too, where they're taking dead cap money from him even though he's on the team. I actually reached out to Spotrac and I was like, hey, you guys got a problem with your thing, like Leonard Floyd, and they're like, no, that actually happened. I was like, what? So they've done some curious things in terms of taking dead cap. I think Woods is probably safe for a couple of years, but I wouldn't put it past them, right? I don't think that number, that formula there with his, you know, due $10 million, where they could save $3.6 million in cap savings and not pay him, that wouldn't put him in the firmly safe category, I wouldn't say. I do think Cup is pretty safe, though. His is pretty decent structure to his that kind of insulates him. And then you're looking there, Tutu Atwell, Van Jefferson, sort of what development are you getting there? Is that a situation where Woods is expendable? I don't think Woods is going to be expendable because I think this offense is going to be rocket fuel this year. And, you could see a lot of starter seasons out of this team. You know, you could see, I think it's firmly possible to see five starter seasons out of the Rams. Stafford, Akers, Woods, Kupp, Higbee. You could see it all. All right, well, that'll wrap it up for the wide receiver position with a little love for the Rams at the end. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.